our thoughts and prayers are certainly with the families who are grieving over the loss of their loved ones, and so many were taken hostage, and we pray for their safe return, as some of our countrymen were killed in that terrible assault by Hamas on innocent people, older people, women and children, babies. So we do want to pray for God's will to be done in this matter. And we thought it would be good to study the topic beginning last Lord's Day, the church before the world, as the answer to the problems that we're seeing throughout the world is obviously the gospel of Christ. There can be no other answer. This would be the way to take care of so many things that concern us. Well, the importance of the one true church of the Bible cannot be overstated. As we noted, if an accountable person is outside the body of Christ, outside the church of Christ, he's lost in his sins. Because the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so if one is outside the church, they're not saved. That is an accountable person. And so we want to continue our study as we noted last Lord's Day, the church before the world began, yes, existing in the mind of God. The plan of redemption, of course, involved the church of Christ. And then we noted the church before the world revealing the wisdom of God. And we noted Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Here's the church showing the wisdom of God, and of course, it's perfect wisdom. Now, we'll want to continue our study where we left off last Lord's Day in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we know that stands for the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern and with a proper attitude, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions. Yes, and your comments, positive or negative, they're always welcome. And if you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We look forward to those opportunities, and we'll set that up at your convenience. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And let me mention again the Stop 11 Road annual lectureship, and this is the 42nd annual lectureship, begins November the 5th and goes through the 9th. So that's Sunday the 5th going through Thursday the 9th. And the theme, Mountains and Valleys of the Bible. And that's going to be a great study, and I look forward to being a part of that and hearing the other speakers. And Following the lectureship will be our gospel meeting. And one of the speakers on the lectureship is going to be our speaker for the gospel meeting, Brother Bill Boyd from Tennessee. I know you'll enjoy hearing Brother Bill preach. I've heard him a number of times, and I always appreciate sitting at his feet. And so we look forward to our gospel meeting starting on Friday night. That would be November the 10th, Saturday night the 11th, and 7 o'clock both nights, then Sunday the 12th at 9:30, 10:30, then a potluck lunch, which you'll enjoy, and then finishing out the meeting with a 1 o'clock service. We look forward to seeing you at our gospel meeting and also at the lectureship there at Stop 11 Road and Five Points, right on the corner. Now, let's get back to our study that we started last Lord's Day, the church before the world. And we were discussing the church before the world revealing the manifold wisdom of God. And so what we need to appreciate is that the church of Christ is perfectly designed in its organization, in its mission, in its worship, and in its service to God, because it's instituted by God. This is the church you're reading about from the Bible. If we stay with the Scripture, we need to appreciate that the church of Christ, of course, was built by Christ, the purchase price, His precious blood. He's the head of the church. He's the Savior of the church. It's His spiritual body, and thus He's the foundation as well. We certainly should appreciate that and know that this is declaring the wisdom of God, how God set this up. And we know by the Scriptures how it's set up. The organization, again, is with Christ as the head of the church of Christ, because it's His body. Certainly a man should not be the head of the church. The Pope does not fit the body of Christ, being the head of it, of course not. That's a departure from the faith. That's what happened years ago. That's right, the Catholic Church came out of the true church and set up a man as the head of the church. And they began to forbid marriage and forbidding the eating of meats. Remember how you had to eat fish on Friday when you went to school years ago? That's the way it was. Well, the Holy Spirit, you see, knew what was going to happen before it happened. And that's something to take note of, is it not? That's a departure from the faith. And then you had a split where you had the Greek Orthodox Church, Constantinople, formed. And then you had, as years go by, protest for the corruption that was going on. And you had denominational religious organizations being formed by men. This is not the church that began in Jerusalem. It's not the church of the Bible. If a man started it, it can't be. We need to understand that and appreciate how the church of Christ is perfectly designed in its organization. Elders are to be appointed, and you find the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and then Titus 1 as well. The office of a deacon, the qualifications are given there in 1 Timothy 3. And of course, preachers and teachers are to preach what? The truth, the Word of God. Preaching the Word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We don't want to be ear ticklers. We want to be proclaimers of the gospel if we're preachers in the Lord's church. So we need to appreciate that organization that God set up? What about the mission of the church? Again, this is what the scriptures teach: evangelism, edification, benevolence, not building family life centers, not involving all the entertainment stuff that's going on. No, the threefold mission of the church is preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and teach all nations. That's right. That's the Great Commission. And of course, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. So we need to appreciate staying with the pattern of the New Testament as we see the organization, the mission of the church. That's perfectly designed by God. Why would we want to depart from that? What about the worship service? Are we worshiping in accordance to the New Testament pattern, or just doing what we think should be done? Whatever pleases us. You see, God designed how He is to be worshiped in the church: praying, singing. Notice that's specific. That leaves out every other type of music. The mechanical instrument is without authority from the scriptures. You can find it over in the Old Testament. So you can also find sacrifices to animals. We're not under that covenant. We're to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Sing, making melody where? In the heart. Use the instrument God gave us, the voice. And then we're to preach the word, as we just talked about. Now, we're to give of our means. That's another avenue of worship. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Upon the first day of the week, we're to lay by in stores. We've been prospered, and give cheerfully. And then we're to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, as the early church did, Acts 20:7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them unto midnight, ready to depart on the morrow. He continued his speech unto midnight. Now, we're not to necessarily follow that today, but we're to come together and partake of the Lord's Supper. You see, this is staying with the scriptures, is it not? Well, again, we're looking at the organization, the mission, how we're to worship God, and our service to God is all part of the Church of Christ that was perfectly designed by God. Now, let's not get away from that. The plan of salvation to enter the church and to remain faithful in the church. It also reveals God's wisdom. All these things we could talk about. Yes, God's pattern for His church is found in the New Testament. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Notice, In Romans 6:17, this is going to show us that we're to hold fast the form of sound doctrine. That's right. There's a form. That's the pattern we're talking about. Philippians 3:16. Notice, nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Did we get that? We need to stay with the rule that God has set forth, the standard. That's the form of doctrine we're talking about here. Hold fast to sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13. Paul was advising young evangelist Timothy. Now, if one believes that one church is as good as another, or that it does not matter which religious group one joins, Obviously, he has failed to recognize the exalted position of the one true church of the Bible. That's right. That's failing to see that God has given us his church, not some man's denomination that was started in protest of the Catholic Church. No. The New Testament gives us the pattern for the true church today, the true church of the Bible, and again, that is the church of Christ. Why do I keep emphasizing this? Because how many people are not getting it? They're missing it because of all the confusion. When you say the church of Christ, you're not saying some denominational name. You're talking about the body, the spiritual body that is Christ. He possesses it. That's why it's of in the middle, church of Christ. That's not a man's designation. Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. So let's stay with what the Bible says. One does not join the true church of the Bible. Of course not. He's added by the Lord himself to his church, which is his spiritual body. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now let's stay with the scriptures on all these points. How do we worship God? We have to stay with the pattern. What's the mission of the church? Stay with the pattern. How's the church organized? Stay with the pattern. Our service to God, stay with the pattern. Follow the example of Christ as he lived. Do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. Tragically, the majority of accountable souls in this world are ignorant of the true church of the Bible and its proper exalted position. That's what we're trying to really hone in on. Focus in on this. The church before the world reveals the manifold wisdom of God. It's declaring it. And this is what's being missed by the majority of the world. If you go to Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, notice with me 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now the question to ask ourselves, are we of the few that find it, or are we of the many that go in that broad, that wide gate? It's so easy to go in that way and carry everything we want to carry with us and go down that broad way. But where is it leading? To destruction, to the fires of hell. We want to go through the straight gate where we don't carry all that baggage. We're going to repent of our sins and obey the gospel, baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and stay faithful, adding the Christian graces. That's going the narrow way, and that leads to heaven. We better be of the few. So that's what I'm trying to point out here. You see, the majority of accountable souls in this world are ignorant of the true church of the Bible. We will not have an excuse. Well, my preacher told me something else. Well, why didn't you study for yourself? Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. I try to emphasize that. Why? Because I'm not perfect. I can say the wrong thing. But the Bible is always right. And if we seek it out, the truth, for ourselves, then we'll know if the preacher or the teacher is telling us the truth. You see, every accountable soul's eternal destiny depends on his understanding of the Church of Christ as revealed in the New Testament. And of course, his obeying the gospel and then remaining what? A faithful member of the Lord's church, even if it meant being put to death. Well, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Jesus has promised us. So now, the wisdom of God is before the world, shining forth for all to see. And since the Church of Christ, by the grace of God, provides the world an opportunity to hear and to obey the truth, that is, the gospel of Christ, it should be accepted, not rejected. God's wisdom is again before the world, as revealed by the Church of Christ. How God instituted the church, his church, not man's church. That's being declared by the scriptures. The importance of accepting the truth cannot be overstated. If we say, well, you know, I prefer to go where my family has gone for years. What if my family has gone to the wrong church for years? It's not the church of the Bible. It's a church that man started. What am I going to say before God on the day of judgment? I trusted my family. And God will tell us what? You should have trusted me. That's right. What will we hear on the day of judgment? We're not going to be able to make excuses before God. God can call up witnesses and shoot down every excuse man could think of. That's not going to work. So we need to know right now, am I understanding about the church of the Bible? Am I worshiping in accordance to the New Testament pattern? Am I living as Christ would have me to live and following his example? What about these questions? Are we able to give the answer that's pleasing to God, or are we unprepared? What is our attitude and response toward the one true church of the Bible as it declares God's wisdom for bringing the lost souls out of their sins upon their obedience of the gospel of Christ and being added into the body of Christ by the Lord himself, and were baptized into one body? 1 Corinthians 12, you'll want to study verses 12 and 13. We're baptized into one body. There's not many bodies. If you'll note Ephesians chapter 4, you'll see the seven ones of unity. And beginning in verse 4, there is one body. Now, are we going to believe what someone else says about that? Or are we going to accept what God says about it? There's only one body. That means there's only one true church. There's one Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. And there's one hope of your calling. We have one purpose. There's one Lord. Jesus Christ has all authority. There's one faith, one system of faith. That's the gospel. One baptism. That's the baptism of the Great Commission, not the Holy Spirit baptism, not the baptism of fire, not John's baptism, the forerunner to Christ. That's talking about the being immersed under water and contacting the blood of Christ. That's the one baptism. Not sprinkling, not pouring. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's unity of worship. We need to worship God as he set forth, not as we think best. Are we ready to do what God says? Why? Why not obey the gospel today if you haven't done so? we stand ready to assist you. We'll study with you, Father. We'll look up all these verses and see what would God have me to do. The truth, the gospel of Christ, is to be learned. It's to be obeyed. It's to be taught. It's to be defended. It's to be loved by each member of the Church of Christ, because it's precious. We need to earnestly contend for the faith, as Jude declared. And so, as we've been studying the church before the world, we've noted this is the church we're reading about and studying about in the Bible. It's not a man-made church. It's not a denomination. It's the spiritual body of Christ. Do I want to be a part of that body? If I'm already a member, am I being faithful? Attending the services as my health allows. That's right. What's my desire? Well, God knows whether we admit it or not. Now it's time to ask ourselves, am I ready to die this very minute? If not, I better get ready, because it could happen any time. There could be terrorist acts. We don't know how many are already in the country. Not to scare anybody, but I mean, it is possible. And any of us could be killed in an accident at any time. And we could have a health problem. The point is, be prepared for eternity. Now. Not put it off. So we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the precious gospel of Christ. We've emphasized we have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17, and then believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's not difficult. He died for our sins. As we know in John 8:24, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we should be motivated to repent, making a change of our will. Now we're ready to do God's will. That's right. To do what God would have us to do. Luke 13:3-5. Once we've turned away from a life of sin, we're ready then to make the good confession. Now this is unto salvation. So we're not there yet. Romans 10:9-10. We're stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now, having made the good confession, we're ready to be immersed. Again, this is a burial, and we need to appreciate we're going under the water to contact the precious blood of Christ, symbolically, of course. Jesus shed His blood in His death, and so we're buried into the death of Christ by baptism. Study Romans 6:3-6. And this is for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what the blood of Christ does, washes away our sins. And as we come up out of the watery grave, we're walking in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.